Hey, hey, all you Arizona lovers. This is the Finding Arizona podcast, episode number 153. Today's guest we have in C&D Industries. We have two co-owners, and they are Chase and Don. And we want to say thank you to Chase and Don for coming in. These two are very good at what they do. They are making this modular-like table that is very, it's like, it is one of my favorite new things that I love modular pieces. I'm a big fan of functionality when it comes to design. So this is one of those things that like really got me going. It's like an outdoor, indoor table. You can put it basically anywhere and it's versatile. It has these metal capsules in the middle that you can take in and out and switch out for different, any sort of things that they have sliding in and out. And I'm imagining he's going to make more pieces, but this is incredible. Chase is a wonderful dude. It was just wonderful to have them in and kind of understand why they got started with such a business like this. So take a listen to the episode. We appreciate them coming in. We're going to jump into a little bit of the business side. Finding Arizona podcast can be heard all across different platforms. If you're listening to this on a platform, please subscribe, like, comment. It helps us get to the top. And without you guys, we can't get to the top of the charts because you're the ones listening. You're the ones suggesting this to friends. So it means a lot to me when you guys share our episodes with your friends. Please do so. On top of which, you can also find us at findingarizonapodcast.com, where you'll receive all the episodes available to you with extra content, including photos, websites, links, everything you can possibly imagine. You can sign up for the newsletter. You can even shop. We have a shopping area. You have a store. You can get tote bags, shirts, mugs. I have a mug. I use a mug that has our logo on it. It is so fantastic. So go check out our merchandise over there. And last but not least, patreon.com/findingarizonapodcast if you want to hear the 50 questions that we usually do called Fine Examination. It's our bonus content podcast that you can only receive on patreon.com/findingarizonapodcast. Thank you so much again to everyone out there listening, and we're going to jump right into now our community cork board. This is where you can send in your events, and we try and make sure that everyone gets included. But if you'd like to send an event, you can reach us at findingarizonapodcast@gmail.com, and we'll set it up so that you guys can go and have your events ready out there for the public. One of the events this week, the Arizona Taco Festival. Yay! If you're a taco fan, and who isn't a taco fan, go out to the Taco Fest over in Scottsdale, Arizona. Tickets still available. It's rain or shine. So it is raining out or it is cloudy out. So if you're not taking full advantage of this cuddle weather, here are another event that you can go check out. It's the Oktoberfest. Four Peaks is still putting on their Oktoberfest every year, October 13th and 14th. Go check it out. Tempe Town Lake is having their Oktoberfest. Last but not least, New Times Best of Phoenix Affair down over at the Van Buren. Go check that out October 13th, which is today. Go check it out at the Van Buren. We went over to the Arizona State Fair. It was fantastic. So those of you who are following us on Instagram, Brittany and I have posted our little Arizona State fun. And shout out to my buddy Kel and Sakura. They gave us let us park at their house, which they live close by, but they also actually gave us a ticket to go inside. So we were just planning on buying our own tickets, and Kel was nice enough to have an extra one and give it to us. So Kel from the church show, shout out Kel, thank you so much. And this intro has gone long enough for you guys to hear about what's been going on lately. There's some new guests coming in that I'm super excited to share with you guys. So always listen local, support local, and just really enjoy yourselves out there this October and going into November. This is my favorite time of year because families are starting to get together. It's more family oriented. A lot of the holidays are family oriented. So it's just fun. I like this time of year. It just feels like everyone gets together. It's winter, huddle masses, that sort of thing. But thank you so much for listening. This has been Finding Arizona Podcast. I'm your host, Jose. Let's do this. There you go.
They're all on the table.
Okay.
Let's do this. Welcome back, everybody, to the Finding Arizona podcast. I'm your host, Jose. As always, we bring in special guests, and today is no different. We have two owners, well, one owner of a very special place, and why don't you guys introduce yourselves and the company that you're representing today?
Ladies first.
Thank you. I'm Dawn Albright, co-owner and co-founder of C+D Industry.
And I'm Chase Albright, co-owner and founder as well of C+D Industry.
Yay!
Woo, thank you for having us. We're so
absolutely
excited to be here.
Well, again, I remember it was an event, and I can't remember what event it was that we saw your guys' tables at. Do you remember?
The Home and Garden Show, I think
yeah. It was the Home and Garden Show. Yeah.
Yep, I remember.
Oh, awesome. Yeah. So we met you guys there. We thought you guys' stuff was just completely great. And then we also found that you guys are local. So it's just really all full circle. And that's why we have you here today. So first off, things that we usually kick this off with is tell me a little bit about how you guys got started and just why this is something that you guys are so passionate about.
Yeah, we feel that we have a great story, but we were living in Old Town Scottsdale, mm-hmm. and we had this little condo in an 8-unit space,
okay.
and we had a side yard that was shaded, and it had some great soil. Some of that space is old farmland,
mm-hmm.
and so we were really excited about gardening, and we would plant, and anything we planted just took off. It was really kind of fun and exciting for us to experiment. I grew up on the East Coast where gardening was just part of rite of passage. That's how we got most of our produce.
Nice.
And I started introducing that to Chase, and we just had a great time with it. We were always creative and always, you know, up to some sort of project. And then we got chickens.
Ooh.
In Old Town.
In Old
right
Town.
Off Chaparral and Scottsdale Road.
Wow, you're not kidding. That
right,
is
right in the thick of everything. So at the time, people were coming home from nightclubs, chickens were laying eggs and kind of making their sounds. And,
yeah.
We really had a lot of fun with it. We composted. And then a day came when someone in our little tight-knit community found out about our chickens, and they weren't real happy about
it. No, they point blank me. One of the neighbors, he's like, hey, I gotta ask you a question. Do you guys have chickens? And at first, I was kind of stunned. I'm like, yes, we do. Okay. I showed them to him, and I gave him, I don't know, maybe 2 dozen eggs.
Wow.
Fresh eggs.
I'm wow.
like, we'll give you as many eggs, just keep it on the hush.
Yeah.
And like the very next day, maybe the day after, but like within 2 days, we get a letter from the HOA.
No.
Saying, yeah, he totally sold us out. So
wow.
We were really sad that we had to move our operation. They totally said, we're welcome to stay, but our chickens couldn't. It was a pet friendly community, but I guess they drew the line at chickens.
Yep.
They weren't harming anyone.
Which Scottsdale too is the most livestock friendly city of all the cities.
Because
so.
That's how
it's so
it began.
Crazy.
Hitching posts, horses, that
fun
sort of
fact
thing.
About that. But
we moved our operation. We decided to move somewhere where we had a little bit more space to kind of spread out and explore some of our passions and keep our chickens.
So that brought us northwest.
Northwest Valley.
We had some land to kind of do our thing and farm.
Yeah.
It was like the plan to have like a little
bigger garden.
Yeah. But
so I would plant something, a whole actually garden full of things, wake up in the morning, go water everything, and it would be abducted in the night. Something had eaten it or taken it. So we were competing in the desert. It is really strange.
Javelina or coyotes?
We didn't know. We thought it was bunnies, so we raised it up a little bit.
Okay.
And we thought it was birds, so we put a net over it. And then we thought it could be gophers or coyotes or... So we were really struggling in that environment to have our garden. So I came up with the concept. We had an old wooden beam that we weren't sure what we were going to do with that.
Yeah.
It was kind of some sort of DIY project, but we didn't know what that would be.
Okay.
And so we decided that we would make this a table And I, Chase being a metal fabricator by trade.
Well, you were, when she came up with the idea, she was mad because we, it was like the last time we got hit. So, because we had done this a few times, like we'd plant tons of stuff, gone.
Yeah.
Plant tons of stuff, gone. So we're like at our wit's end, or I would say Dawn was, because she was like, when she told me this idea, she was like, not angry at me necessarily, but she was like, had some kind of tenacity about it. She's like, we just need, we don't need raised beds. We need a garden, table height, and then I'll take it, give it to you from there. You can finish.
Yeah, so but, I came up with a concept with this basket that could be sandwiched between this beam, and we can make a table out of it.
Mm-hmm.
Keep it closer to the house. The critters are less likely to invade, or they're less likely to go higher up, depending on what we were dealing with.
Yeah.
Or we could move that basket to the shade or to the sun or inside if we needed to, or protect it from a frost. So we can still have some concept of gardening, but set ourselves up for better success in this environment. So Chase said, sure, I can make that. Unbeknownst to me, the challenges that it really involved. So he is a metal fabricator, but we weren't really... didn't have all the tools to be able to exactly make what I had in mind.
Yeah, so. At first, so like at the shop or like in the industry I was in was automotive, so had anything and everything at our disposal. But at home, you know, it was a little more
scarce.
Basic.
Yeah.
So not that it couldn't be done, but I was able to get in her head and figure out, you know, the best way to go about.
Yeah. What were you missing out, like, critically? Was it, like, a blowtorch, or was it...
No, bending metal. So, that was the biggest thing. So, you know, the welding, cut and weld, that's pretty straightforward.
Yeah.
But when you get into the intricacy of the different components and...
Precision bending.
Yeah, that's where it came a little tricky. So.
Where was the precision bend at? Like, if you don't mind me asking.
So, the basin fits in the middle. And then all the different inserts.
Oh, okay.
So, there's a little bit of... It's called tolerance. It's kind of what we use to factor in to make sure everything stacks up. Nothing's stuck. You can use it over and over and it works how it's supposed to.
For sure.
So, like, all those little things that are, you know, simple in conversation. Like, yeah, it just needs to do this or do that.
Mm-hmm.
But when you get down to the numbers of it, there's a whole bunch of math that most people have no idea, like, what would go into making those things work and like
so continue. He pulled
to work.
It off completely, made it look easy. I found out later that it wasn't, but then when our friends saw it, they were like, we want one. And
of course, it's beautiful.
Yes, thank you so much.
I mean, for let's tell people like what exactly we're talking about, because I feel like we're beating or we're running around a bush and you're not really explaining what your product is. So for those listening, C&D specializes in this table.
We call it the ultimate party table.
Yes.
The garden table.
It's led to now two patents that we have.
Oh, very cool.
On the whole system. So simply put, a cooler and a table. And then the modularity of it too. It encompasses all of those things.
Yeah.
So it is your
table. So it started as a garden within
a
table.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then as our friends wanted one, they said, can something collect the water that drains out? I don't want it to drain onto my outdoor rug.
Mm-hmm.
And Chase was like, sure, I can make that. And as he was building that, he said, oh my goodness, that could be a cooler for ice and drinks.
Mm-hmm.
So it evolved from there.
Nice.
And so, yes, it's a garden table with garden inserts, and then there's the cooler basin for your ice and drinks.
Mm-hmm.
It can host chafing dishes for kind of catering an event or having just an ease of entertaining. And then there's also a fire feature insert that can drop in and be removable.
Oh, I saw that. That was really cool.
Yeah, it's really fun.
And, of course, too, flat pieces or our version of a leaf. So you still have your traditional tabletop if you want it.
Okay.
Yes, and the flat pieces are chalk painted. So you could write a menu or you could write a message or you can do your beer list for that evening or whatever you want to do. And then it can also be storage when you don't have ice and drinks in for the sure. basin. So okay. it's super functional and fun yeah. and got a lot of uses. But after our friends saw it and wanted it, one friend in particular is a patent attorney, and he kind of advised us down that path.
Always good to have that one friend yeah. that can help you out in the future. Just like, hey, look, you got so something true. Here. Let's yeah. let's make something happen.
Right.
It was, yeah. It was
eye-opening like that- for us. It's one thing when your friends like what you do and they're excited about you what you do, but it's another thing when they want to pay
yeah.
for a product that you produce. A lot of times they're like, hey, just make me one too, and mm-hmm. you know, I'll trade you or something like that. But yep. they really wanted to put out some money to get one of these products.
Yeah.
So we decided at that time we were engaged or dating, and we when we were in the phases of planning our wedding, we had decided mm-hmm. that we would create these tables for our wedding, outdoor yep. wedding reception, that we would nice. Make about 10 to seat our guests, and that we would plant our flowers instead of buying those very expensive cut flowers,
yeah.
and that we would kind of have alcohol and drinks accessible on tables, sort of like bottle service.
Self-serve at each yeah. table. So everyone had, you know, their
that's awesome.
Their drinks, so they that's could so make cool. them all right there.
Right. Yeah. So and by the end of the night, all 10 tables were claimed by a family member or friend.
Everyone was like, I yeah. need this. This is it. This right. is the one I want. You
we
guys
thought we were going to have this cool space because we have kind of a bigger backyard. Yeah. So we built a dance floor. We strung lights, you yeah. know, they're still there. So it's like
that's
a
awesome.
Permanent kind of hangout spot.
Mm-hmm.
And we thought we'd have these tables to, you know, host different parties, but
they were sold.
They were sold. And then,
but unbeknownst to us, they became prototypes. So our dearest uh-huh. friends and family got to give us some real honest feedback about what worked, works, what yeah. didn't work,
yeah.
what they would change and
what they wanted.
Do differently, and how their family uses it.
You kind of had like a massive like
R&D
kinda, the first yeah. time around. Yeah.
Right. We didn't realize. We also didn't realize how time consuming it would be to create these 10 tables when mm-hmm. you have all these other things to plan for a wedding. But with a lot of help from family, we pulled it off.
Yeah.
And then yeah, so then things kind of really started snowballing from there. And by word of mouth, we were able to make more sales mm-hmm. and
just
create more products.
We were still,
really
at this time, this was pre-patent. So mm-hmm. we weren't like
making
going
them.
To market
yeah.
just yet, like full out there, because mm-hmm. we were afraid, you know, someone might knock us off and there'd be nothing we could do about it.
Yeah.
So we kind of, you know, played our cards right in that sense. And we were just word of mouth mm-hmm. and forgot where I was going with this. There was a point to it, but.
But yes, kind of after that, things kind of just took on its own entity. And mm-hmm. we had decided to enter into like some public sales. And shortly after that, we really received a lot of support from the community.
Nice.
You know, people just really kind of gravitated to our idea. Sort of like you did when
yeah.
you just saw it and you're like, wow,
absolutely.
This is new and unique and different.
Yeah, it's definitely something that I hadn't seen before. I mean, we went to the San Diego Home and Garden Show, right? Mm-hmm. And nothing like that. And it was just like one of those things that as you come around and seen certain things kind of throughout the different events and stuff like that, you really yearn for something different. And so seeing your guys' stuff was just like, oh, I could see that in my backyard. I could definitely, I love modular things particularly because it's again, the functionality behind it and just kind of the ability, because I'm the kind of person who switches up my desktop front page like
yeah.
every couple of months or so. I want that fresh look, or I want something else to help me kind of change it up just a little bit, whether it's, you know, having plants, or you just change it up to having a party mode and having drinks available or something like that.
Yeah.
And I think what you guys have is just something that's really unique and special for every person, because it's not, it's like, it's changeable. It's interchangeable.
Oh, yeah. And it's never boring.
Absolutely. Never. It's never boring.
And the cool thing, too, is once you have one of our tables, mm-hmm. it completely changes the way you plan things mm-hmm. or, like, your thoughts. So, like, if you're planning a party, you think, I'm going to put this there, that there, I got to come up with this, or you have all these questions, mm-hmm. and then when it comes around, too, you're like, nope, this is going in there, drinks are there. And it's all out of the one
mm-hmm. your place. Functionality yeah. for entertaining. It's really simplified, game but changer. You could also be really creative. Yeah. So we really love that.
Yeah.
But it's also not been without some challenges. Like
absolutely. Certainly, I can imagine that.
Yeah, it has been fun. And we were always creative, and spreading out to that new space allowed us to have the space to come up with this concept, which had we been in our little condo without a garage and some tools, mm-hmm. we probably would have been forced to move because of our chickens.
Yeah.
Without that, we probably never would have come up with this concept. Absolutely. So sometimes out of necessity and the critters eating our garden, all those things are when some great
isn't that a unique special good. Like kind of event that like helped it. It wouldn't have happened without that sort of sequence of events
right.
to happen prior to.
Yep.
And it just kind of stumbles in your lap and it just works.
Exactly. Yeah. That was the also why we're sitting here today.
Yeah.
Is because that showed up so many times throughout this journey.
Yeah.
It's been 5 years and we are still astonished at every step of the way. There's something that appears like a challenge, uh-huh. but a lot of times it ends up being something that keeps you moving in the right direction. It
absolutely.
Just poses you with a few questions to be able to pull it together and find a way to overcome that, which actually propels you that much more forward
mm-hmm.
in business and in life.
What was your, I guess for you, Chase, like what was your aha moment for like, this is something that's gonna take over my life. I've mm-hmm. got to commit myself to this business.
That's a really good question.
Was it like the first order? Was it like the first 100 orders?
No. So the first one, so there's, okay. I guess I would say once we made it, so there's like that emotional journey, even building it. Like
yeah.
Some things don't work or just the process of it. And it's
yeah.
finally finished and you're like, all right, you're really accomplished, you're proud of it, and the thing that got me, though, so that's great, and that's a big part of it, but the thing that got me is, like, you know, when you aren't paying attention, well, I would say not paying attention, but I'll notice, like, once it was made, I would notice, like, wait, that's a good-looking table, you know, I'd, like, catch me off guard, and I'd just to...
The pride.
Go back, yeah, or even, like... One show I got lost at, and I was looking around because I think that was the one that you had set up with someone. But anyway, I was looking around. There was lots of different art and things.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was like, oh, wow, that's really cool. Oh, wait, there I am. You know, noticing that cool
yeah.
product that was
yeah.
yours. For me, there's really a defining moment where during this journey, we were setting up my very own wood shop. Chase, which we haven't disclosed yet, Chase is the metal fabricator and is the metal side of our operations,
mm-hmm.
can do anything metal, fences and all that sort of thing,
yeah.
And all types of metal. And I, along the way, starting in my youth, kind of learned a little bit about woodworking over the years.
Mm.
And then we had some local Arizona long-term woodworkers who gave us some advice and
nice.
Some impact that really
yeah.
came in to help out. And during that journey of learning this process, I had an accident and I partially amputated 2 fingers. Yeah. So it was a physical challenge. It was an emotional challenge. One thing to be hurt at all, ever. And another thing to be hurt when you're following your dream
yeah.
and your passion. and you're really, you know, going for it, and then like you really have something that impacts you in your whole, you know, everything. I was one-handed completely for a long time, where Chase needed to help me shower, and he would shave my armpits because I couldn't do that with my other hand.
Yeah.
And very humbling for someone who doesn't like to ask for help. And you know,
do you have full function now?
Full function.
Okay.
Full function. And it's great right now.
Yeah.
But at the time it presented itself as, do you really want to do this?
Yeah.
You know, do you want to, there's an element of danger to this type of work.
Clearly.
Yeah. Do you really want to pursue it? Is this something that you're capable of? And all those questions that get in your head when you're following any sort of dream and passion. And this was like times 10. And so I had some time during my physical recovery where, first of all, some friends and people pitched in to help out. And for a while I was like, oh, this is where you just have to be brave and you have to keep doing it and you have to keep after it. But it was really, for me, a lesson in learning of asking for help and receiving help and letting people do that, that really gave me some time to process and think about how I wanted to proceed. And I never spoke about it as something I completely did internally, and then never missed a beat. I just decided, you know what? Like, you're not this far in to bail now.
Yeah.
It's still your passion. It's still a dream. You will have full function. There are millions of carpenters who are missing pieces
full
of digits.
Full limbs. Digits, limbs, anything.
You're in their club. So just go for it.
I saw a woodworking teacher just like three fingers gone. These two left. I was like, wow.
Yeah, it's real. It's a real
It's reality. A real thing.
Yeah.
And just really for the longest time just like threw me away from woodworking and things like that. It's just, but now it's like, as you like, again, it's like, I think having a home, I just wish I was more like woodwork. Like, I want to get a miter saw. Like, I want to get all these things to start building things around the house. But it's like, I don't think I would be that skilled of a woodworker. I think I would attempt to make everything almost the right way. I feel like I'd get that 90% and just like the little things where it's like, I don't know, some kind of edging or something would be like off by a quarter inch or something like that.
It takes so much patience. Really true.
You definitely learn too.
Okay.
From each project.
You often learn the hard way.
And it's mostly learning what you would do differently. Because it's like, by the time you finish something, you're like, I would never build it that way again. Moving forward, this is how we're doing it.
I'm still going to go with it and see it through, but it's lessons in so many ways. And this was a very physical and emotional one. And I just had locked in and decided, I'm doing this. I'm going for it. I'm not going to let this get me down. And shortly after that, we were contacted by our first magazine publication to say, we want to feature you. And I was like, okay, this is what it means to really stick with your dreams and go for it.
What a shining silver lining at the end of that. That's awesome.
Yeah, it was really awesome.
So now that we're kind of like where you guys are at now, is there kind of a, I guess now a set way of building these things, these tables, like these products? You have kind of a process where you know the fastest way to build these things.
Yeah, we've got all of our, the hardest thing was, it's been a constant evolution. So
I imagine
now we know, because we had feedback on, can it do this? Could it do this? Could it do that? So we did, come to some hard numbers that we stick to. So we have kind of streamlined it. I would say they're all still custom.
Yeah.
So
you have like a bistro table that I was like, that's super cool. That's like a little bit lifted. And then you have like your 6 foot table is your first one, I would assume.
Yeah, right. That's the standard.
We call that our standard size.
And that's like the perfect size too. Cause you could fit anywhere from 6 to 10 people there.
Yeah.
And that seems to be like that right number for as far as fitting in most homes or spaces or like dining table. That's awesome. Like the magic number there. But we can go up to 10 feet long And then wow. short as...
Was your wedding table ones 10 feet?
No, they were 6 feet.
Oh, okay.
They were all 6 feet.
They were all 6
we
feet.
We call it custom production now, where okay. we have certain numbers... Going back to the math, where you need that precision for boxes to fit in with into boxes that fit into basins, and mm-hmm. that can all be interchanged.
Got it.
So that is on lockdown, where we can do that now in a precision type of way.
So now building shipping is all standardized and everything like that.
Yep,
okay.
Yep. It's all been a process of learning the logistics, but yeah, we've got shipping nationwide. Yeah. And
that's awesome.
Yeah.
And you still have 200 options.
Yeah.
So.
Dude, that's so freaking cool.
It's there's really no two that
are alike. Exactly the same. That's awesome.
Yep. Like we can do pub height, counter height, dining height.
Mm-hmm.
And like you said, a small square version, a larger square version, and then our typical.
Is it still, I'm imagining, is it still a two-person operation, just you two?
No, there's four of us now.
Oh, wow. So
we've been really blessed with some great helpers.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Two employees?
Yep.
Yes.
That's really great.
We've got good people on our side and on our team, and we're just, you know, slowly making that upward progression. And it's working out.
Yeah, and it's funny how you wonder at times, how am I ever going to get to that next phase, and how are we going to get to the point where we have help? And sure enough, the universe really put it out there, and it really does provide to where that person shows up, or that contract shows up, or you know, things just kind of happen and fall into place. When you can align your goals,
when
you really sit down and focus on what you want, it seems to be provided. We've been really lucky.
Absolutely. And for just like a side question for Chase, like, so now I'm just like picturing where you lie as far as the person who, you know, almost created these things and kind of like really chugging along at making these perfect, to have your partner, you know, significant other, your business partner, this like person who you rely on, physically get hurt. And like, where were you emotionally like through this whole process? I mean, because it kind of, for me at least, I would be stressed and freaking out at the same time. It's like my significant other is hurt. I'm doing this on top of like, I got to make sure on top of this whole thing, like I'm emotionally ready to like start this business at the same time. It's a lot to take on as far as, you know, manufacturer, business owner, that, all that stuff. Where were you in the middle of this whole process emotionally?
I just kind of did what I had to do.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't really think any one way. I didn't really go anywhere other than like, all right, this is what needs to be done, get it done. What's next? What's next? What's next? I don't know. That's a good question.
Yeah. You're pretty steadfast on like when you have something, you know, like a challenge in front of you, you seem like the kind of person that like just focuses in on the goal line.
I think so. Yeah. Yep.
Accepting help was probably another thing that you had to focus on too.
Yeah, I guess I did struggle a little because I did want to do everything.
Yeah.
I guess I was like, I don't know, not too mothering is the word.
But it's like, your baby. Like, essentially, that's what it is. You had full reign of this beforehand, and you had all the abilities to customize it, or if something happened.
I was talking about Dawn, like her, her needs. Yeah,
I'm sorry.
The table thing, we got that. I could, for the most part, handle a lot of that, but like,
well, at this time for her, we also had other jobs.
Okay.
Yeah,
we both had day jobs and we were doing this on the side, and but we still want, long-term goal was still to do this.
All right, no, I think I was full-time C+D, right?
No,
really?
Yeah, because you had to go to work and explain maybe time off and things like that.
I have a goldfish brain. That's like every 8 seconds, it's something new. So. Yeah,
same here, man. Same here.
That's the joke.
Yeah. So I think it was, you know, there were some people who stepped in to help us, and Chase did just jump in and cross-train them and get them up to speed quickly and just did kind of put one foot in front of the other to make things happen.
Mm-hmm.
During that time.
Yeah.
But then it was probably me coming on board and saying, okay, I still want to do this, and not cowering away or backing mm-hmm. down. It was difficult at first. Even the sounds of certain equipment and things would sort of be
traumatizing,
yeah. paralyzing yeah. for me. But maybe, perhaps we haven't even really talked about this, but just kind of forging ahead and powering through gave both of us energy mm-hmm. to support each other and move forward in That's our good. Long-term goals. And then shortly after that first article that was requested of us was Phoenix Home and Garden magazine. And then Chase left his day job. Mm-hmm. And then I was about a year behind him with a second publication that yeah. came out that kind of helped mobilize our advertising and kind of propel us forward.
Nice.
And so now we're here where we're both doing this completely full time, and we have a great facility, and we are now looking forward to perhaps even growing and moving to a bigger space and expanding Whoa, our product nice. Lines. We always can do wood and metalwork of all types, but our production on other things is limited because of space.
Yeah.
So we're hoping to be able to expand that so we can expand to some different lines and some different avenues yeah, for absolutely. Selling products. And
That's what I was going to get into. I mean, as far as like we've talked about kind of the modularization of all of the products that you have and kind of where you're, my next question would be like future, like have you thought of new pieces to kind of fit in or some new products that you might think of for the future of this?
So inspiration's one of those things that we've got a few ideas we've been kicking around.
Okay.
And, just different like little contests we have with like
challenging ourselves to
just
find
make
new things.
So like not everyone can see the Sharpie that I'm holding, but for an example, to create this Sharpie, you know, there's a whole journey in that, but yeah. in creating this Sharpie, taking that journey, you realize I want to do something completely different, mm-hmm. and you end up finding like that next
okay
piece or that yeah. next inspiration. And that's kind of what we do is we'll set out for something, but something. We're always coming up with different
yeah
we're open to the journey
things.
Of
exactly
is interesting yeah. and probably how you guys have even experienced, but you put something out there and you know you want something or you want something to succeed, and then over time it takes on its own avenue and mm-hmm. and it becomes something a little bit different than what you had set out for, but even better yeah. than what you planned. That's kind of where we are now with some new product lines, and then always custom work
projects, like home projects.
Yeah.
That's, we've got I should say I
you
I yeah, have a laundry list of like projects that have been kind of on hold because we've been doing so well with our tables.
Yeah.
So
what's one in particular that you wish you had more time for?
Our houseboat project.
Houseboat project.
So
nice. I like the sound of that.
So I've got a Craigslist edition.
Oh,
I'm admitting it. And I found this houseboat on there. The guy, it was a friend, like a buddy, had a houseboat in his backyard. He wanted it gone.
Yeah.
So it was, I think, like $1,000 or something really minimal.
Yeah.
But we'd had to hire a crane, a semi-truck, like
what?
All this stuff to get it out of there.
Oh, man.
And, you know, it obviously didn't run. It had holes in it.
Of course,
it.
Yeah.
It was, like, complete.
It's a houseboat in the middle of Arizona.
Yeah, exactly. It was a fixer-upper. So we checked it out, and we're like, nope. What were we thinking?
But we had this concept because
we
wanted to use it almost like a guest house.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
When, you know, we're entertaining friends and family from out of town.
Yeah.
And, of course, be able to get it to the lake when we wanted it to. Mm-hmm. To enjoy the lake. That's how we met at the lake, wakeboarding.
Yep.
And so it meant a lot to us to have this vessel that we could do what we want with. Mm-hmm. But we realized this was like a logistical nightmare. Not what only was it a fixer-upper, but it would require like a full crew and this whole
raising power lines, like the whole gamut. Anything that you could think of and not think of, like
yeah.
would have been a problem.
Yeah. So Fast forward like maybe 2 weeks, Craigslist again, I'm on there, and I find this pontoon boat.
You should just block that website out of the browser.
There's like a slow detox.
So I find this pontoon boat that, you know, floor's rotted out, nice. Everything's just thrashed, and the price was right, so we ended up buying it and resurfaced it, built the walls. But that's as far as we've gotten.
Dude.
So.
Let me know. Like, we'll talk after this. Just because I'd be willing. Like, I honestly, one of my biggest dreams is to learn how to weld. And, like,
okay.
I'd never taken a class. Her dad knows how to weld. I've asked him to, like, teach me a little bit. But I'd be willing to throw in some heavy, like. Like, if you need help with something, I'd be happy to, like, help and
trade for learning. That's brilliant.
I'm taking you up on that.
Yeah, because I would love to, like...
This is documented?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. It's on the podcast. It's where... Okay. No, like, legitimately, I would love to learn how to weld just because, like, you know, I mean, again, it's like we have some ideas. Like, I want to build a Ramada out here. I also want to build, like, a pergola to, like, separate space from one another. And then, like... There's like so many
wall,
cool,
like
yeah,
privacy wall,
privacy
kind of
wall
thing,
like all sorts of, yeah, absolutely. Start like, cause she love, like I love, and we both love, like growing things. Cause I'm a landscape architect, so by trade that's my like thing, and
perfect.
So like we love composting and we love being able to, you know, have fruits and things like that, just like you guys.
Yeah,
it's just that when we moved, we've, you know, we're set back to zero again, so
exactly.
We're like wanting
we can
to.
Relate. Yeah.
Really push the envelope with this house. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I've, in my mind, in my dream, this is just like a glass, like metal and glass, like door.
Awesome. Like a greenhouse.
Like a greenhouse sort of feel to it.
Indoor, outdoor.
Yeah. And then I'd want to put that sign like floating, hanging from, so it faces that way. So people can watch us as we're podcasting from the outside.
Brilliant.
But they see the sign, it says on air and that sort of thing. So my vision for this house is like, there's a lot of metal, a lot of glass,
cool,
that sort of thing.
Well,
so
that is actually perfect because our intention as we grow and we're hoping shortly to be able to expand to a new space, that we want to make sort of a design lab that we open to people or youth and teach trades.
Yeah,
to youth and
absolutely.
To people who are just really interested in that.
100%.
And, yeah, bring together a sense of community on those sorts of projects where, exactly like you mentioned, you need help with your project. I'll pitch in and help if you'll help me with mine.
People helping people. And that's,
exactly.
That's something that she's taught me a lot of the times, with especially her family being as helpful. Like, literally, we spent a weekend building a metal deck with her family. Because they had basically spent the entire summer in San Diego building this deck out of metal, like what did he do? He polished it. It's galvanized so that because they're right off of the coast, so it's like all that water, it's just corrosion and things like that.
Yeah,
so
there's a whole process involved in welding that too. Oh, yeah.
They dipped it. They dipped the railings, and and they brought it in, and so we were helping them put the railings on in the section, like the 4 foot sections, and so it's like above. It's like on the second story, so we're like. Doing a whole system of like, you hold it in place, okay, now
teamwork,
teamwork to the max. There was like six of us.
Wow.
It was a lot of fun.
Awesome. But it's such a great sense of accomplishment when you can do that, and bonding. Mm-hmm. And
when it was finished, we were super proud of it because we're like, we did that.
And it'll live on for a long time,
very long time.
So that's what we're really hoping to establish in our new space, is not just like us making our products and making our tables, which is wonderful, and we need to devote a lot of time to do that. But really important to us is also giving back, and I like specifically gain energy from helping people. So that is a big element to where we want to move forward.
Absolutely.
We do that,
and that's what we're all about. I mean, again, it's like you guys came here, but really what we want to do here is an extension of being helpful to help you guys, whether that's giving you guys attention, you know, so people can hear you and hear your story, or if it's some way of like, because we do intros for every episode, so it's like we do like this thing I call the community corkboard, where people come and give us their events and we let them know where to go and that sort of thing. Oh, and then cool. On top of that too, it's like, I just really want this to be a place where locals can come to and really find the people that are really a part of this community and, yeah. and choose, because really this is just a, like a platform that I think is for you guys to open up to the audience, tell them why it's so important for you guys to do what you do. And in turn, I think and I believe that people open up to you, be like, hey, I heard about these guys. Hey, I think their story is really cool. I give them, I think their product is really wonderful. I'm going to buy from them. And that's, to me, that's like what this podcast is meant to do, is to really open up the dialogue for you guys on top of the dialogue that you guys have with your customers.
Yeah. And that's amazing and so extremely valuable. We have traveled and done, you know, wholesale trade shows and art festivals kind of all over the West Coast, and really unique to Phoenix, I believe, is that sense of promoting one another, mm-hmm. not necessarily competing.
Yeah.
And we couldn't be more grateful for just people like you.
Oh, thank
and
you.
Yeah, the community of Phoenix to understand that concept and help each other out. It's from what we have found in talking to other people, it's really unique
yeah.
and extremely valuable. We're part of the local trade community, mm-hmm. Local Trade AZ with Anthony Williams. And there's probably a dozen woodworkers and, you know, people creating furniture in that community, but it's still a sense of working together.
Absolutely.
And cohesively helping each other out and not competition, which is rare in some other communities.
Absolutely.
Kind of complementing each other in the same
yep.
areas.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's the best part of being as small or as small and spread out as we are as a city, in the mm-hmm. sense that this community is helping one another, and we're not, we try our best to really promote one another, because that's yeah. what I've noticed too. And I've tried to ask a lot of the other entrepreneurs who come on here, is that we've all really noticed that something special in Arizona, that there's a real bond of like promoting one another and very close ties with the community and growing up in a place where you can lean on these other entrepreneurs and be like not afraid to ask them for help, or not afraid to you know, highlight someone who's doing maybe the same thing as you, but still in a sense highlight them by saying like they do good stuff, they also will highlight you back. And that
right.
sort of back and forth I've always found special here, because I don't know what it is, but it's just something that we've seen and heard throughout the years as they've kind of come in here and explain what's been going on with them and kind of their careers. So I've found that really unique and special, that I love this community in itself for being able to self help and promote each other.
It's so true. Mm-hmm. It really is true, especially for Phoenix to be such a community of transplants. I'm from a very small mm-hmm. town. So
yeah, I was going to ask you, where's your original origins?
I'm from a small little town in Pennsylvania. It
what
had
part?
One red light when I was growing up in the Northeast. It's called Tunkhannock. And it's
I think I've heard of that. I grew up in Allentown.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Allentown is where we would go to do shopping.
Yeah, exactly.
Reading, the outlets
yeah,
there.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's about just 2 hours straight north of Philadelphia.
Okay, yeah.
And it just was a small one-horse town. Everyone helps everyone out, and that's just the way that it is.
Yeah.
And yeah, so you had a big garden, and you grow your produce.
Absolutely.
And then you canned what you didn't use in the summer, and you use that in the winter. And so, but everyone helps everyone out, and
mm-hmm.
sort of the mode how I grew up. So to come here to
sure.
what is considered like such a big city
mm-hmm.
compared to there, and still have a sense of community where people are really helping you out and
yeah.
wishing you well and wanting to see you do well. And
absolutely.
Is really, really unique. Chase,
I'm on the other hand, born and raised.
Nice.
In, so I was born in Glendale, but the Phoenix area.
Yeah.
It's all
this
connected.
Is all here for you.
Yeah, it's all the same.
Where'd you go to high school?
Paradise Valley.
Okay. All right. Nice.
And so I grew up in kind of the Northwest Valley
mm-hmm.
where we live now.
Mm-hmm.
And then
when
kind of north central a little bit.
Okay.
But you know, growing up here in the desert,
a way different couple of years back when you were in high school than what it is today.
Oh, absolutely. I remember, so like motocross is kind of a thing out here. So like growing up, everyone, not everyone, but a lot of people, you know, get a dirt bike or starts on your bicycle, dirt bike, and then
go from there. Yeah.
Go from there. And yeah, always riding. But I remember Desert Ridge, you know, riding in that area.
Yeah.
And then they started construction and then
they all went down.
Until they got shoot out. But yeah, that was so different.
Yeah, there's a lot of progress and things that have developed here in the area, but it's just, I know from other people's, like, because I was like in Pennsylvania until I was like 13, 14. Then I moved out here. I'm, my mom's Native American, so we moved out to the reservation up north in near an hour north of Winslow.
Oh,
and 2 hours northeast. Yeah, near the Fourth Corners. Yeah. And so, you know, growing up there, like going up from a big city to then reverse going to the small city, it was just really weird for me and just really kind of like awkward years. And then moved down
especially
here for
in high school.
Oh, right? In high school, and then moved down here for college and then never left here. So it's just one of those things, like transitionally, I went from big to small and then to back to the Phoenix area. So it's just all in all, like it, I think it kind of encompasses all of our stories. And I think really too, it's like, it says a lot about you guys. Just, your business is something to help people and something to really, give people a chance to be creative with their, however small of creativity you can with the modular system, but it just gives them a chance to have something very unique and special to their home and to their place of where they can kind of hide away from the bigger parts and just kind of like, this is their space. This is also my space for my table, whatever I need to use it for. So
exactly.
Kudos to you guys.
Thank you.
Thank you very
much.
Yeah,
we love that. It's about kind of bringing families back together again around the dining table.
Absolutely.
Even for us, there's just the two of us, but it's easy to get stuck on our phone or doing some research or texting someone back while you're trying to enjoy a meal or maybe with the TV on, maybe even in two different rooms. So this table has even grandparents by it, and then their whole family loves to come over. And
awesome.
You know, they have the grandkids that love to draw and write on the chalkboard insert, and you know, everyone from the family will bring a dish to share in the middle where you can kind of have a buffet style.
Yeah.
And it just really is bringing people together around a meal again, creating memories. And
absolutely.
And it's interactive too, so like kids that are distracted, you know, brings them
back
in.
Brings
them back. Exactly. Perfect.
Yeah.
Well, thank you guys. That we'll finish up ending it right there because that's like a perfect area to like finish up. I want to say thank you guys so much for coming in. It means a lot to me because especially being that we were so fascinated by your guys's product that it just meant a lot for you guys to come in. And so I appreciate that. But before we go, we usually kick it off to you guys to let everyone know where they can find you online, all the events that you got coming up. This is your chance to plug away.
Excellent. Well, coming up September,
middle of September,
we are going to do a DIY succulent 101 class.
Oh,
nice. Shop in the West Valley.
It's very cool.
So, some customers have asked for some knowledge and some hints, helpful hints to keep succulents thriving in this desert environment. So we're doing that mid-September.
Mm, nice.
And you can find all of that information
on our website. That's cplusdindustry.com, and that's all spelled out.
Nice.
And we're really active. We're most active on Instagram.
Okay.
Which is cplusdindustry.
Okay.
And that's where we kind of post all of our latest photos. We kind of have a gallery of what you can order, customizations.
A lot of
like
what
that.
Customers have chosen as far as different colors.
Yeah.
And then
Facebook,
upcoming
of course.
And we're also on Facebook.
And it's the same, I believe, right? As far as the
C plus D.
C plus sign D. Okay. Industry on Got Facebook.
It. You can tell how involved I am with our social media.
The social media side is not his forte.
Right. No, definitely not.
Well, thank you guys. And again, you guys can reach all our episodes at findingarizonapodcast.com. We make it easy for you guys to reach out to us. It's Finding Arizona Podcast under all social media, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. And then last but not least, it would mean a lot to us if you guys go check out patreon.com/findingarizonapodcast, or we'll go 50 questions with these two guys on our very special podcast called Fine Examination, which is exclusive to our Patreon page. So it's a chance for us to connect with you guys. It's a rapid fire 50 questions. I promise it'll be easy. But with that, we say goodnight to all of you guys. Thank you so much for listening. Say bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you. Thank you, everyone.